Hello and welcome to By Its Cover, one marriage's journey through a movie night using only the covers of movies found on streaming services. I'm one half of your host, Bree.
I'm the other half.
Great job.
Thanks.
The whole time you had this look on his face like you were just waiting for me to pounce on something you were going to say. There was a lot of nervousness.
So it's been a really long time.
You don't have to address it. So the audience can see the dates between our episodes. They know.
We actually did record an intro to an episode, but I hated the movie so much that...
Oh yeah, you refused to do the follow-up.
I did. I refused to do the follow-up, and so that's why it's been so long.
Yeah, it's creative differences. It's really, I say we record everything, and you say, nay, nay.
You don't want to give that movie any sort of...
To be fair, that movie was exactly what I thought it was going to be. With an extra dash of why.
Okay, but we're not here to talk about that movie.
We aren't. We're here to talk about this movie, which is...
VHS 85.
Which, 1 year away from a golden year.
Yeah, the year we were born.
God, we're old. We are... A comedian the other night insulted me by just saying, were you born in the 1900s? And I was like, I'll fucking kill you.
I will murder you.
I was like, I'm sorry, you come to me on my show where I am paying chicken tenders. You fucking say that to me. I was like, you have me and me for life. And she then said, your life. I'm not going to be that long. It's your old shit. I was like, touche. Get out.
So... VHS is actually we already know it's an anthology.
Yes.
Because this is like the fourth sequel to the original VHS.
Yeah, something like that. First two we enjoyed. I mean, they're anthologies, so there's always a couple that you're like, ugh, these are not of the same quality. I remember the first two VHSs, I enjoyed them. Then there was, I think, there was a kind of like a home movie version one or like a... set in slightly in the past that I remember we started and we were good after. We didn't even make it into the first story. We're like, this is a bad quality.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know it's going to be an anthology. Do you want to describe the cover?
Okay, so this cover is very vaporwave.
Ooh, what does that mean?
It's just the art style of kind of that 1980s retro futuristic kind of vibe.
Okay.
A lot of geometric shapes. It looks like there's a kind of a stylized city that feels like a cyberpunky type city,
yep.
Or with triangles and pyramids, mm-hmm. and neon highlights,
mm-hmm.
on it, leading to a chromed out skull being struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a kind of a ziggurat, that flattened temple looking thing, like Mayan or Aztecian temple, leading with a light portal coming out of it, which looks kind of like a TV screen.
Oh.
And there is the silhouette of what looks like a young man, of a child, and then the VHS 85 in that kind of retro neon font.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Shutter original, which I'm hoping it means a step up in quality,
mm-hmm.
compared to the one, I think it was like VHS 99 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, it was
kind
of a throwback, like we started it, we just never continued with it because it didn't look...
It wasn't hitting the anthology itch.
You can do anthologies, which is weird. It's one of my favorite anthologies that we've watched recently, shout out to Hilarious.
Yep.
Was definitely lower budget,
mm-hmm.
but there's a certain production value that I just associate with, like, oh, this can be lower budget and still good.
Yeah.
Whereas this was, I just didn't get the sense of love for it, or it felt cheap in a way that I was like, this is a cash-in.
Yeah.
Which it might not have been. Again, I'm basing this, I think, on like 5 minutes of watching something, so I could be very wrong.
So there's not any sort of like director or cast or anything.
No, there's not even a tagline.
There's not even a tagline. I was part of the reason why you chose this because the Nerd News Network mentioned it.
That actually wasn't Nerd News Network mentioning it. It was, at least I don't recall, I think it was Robert Schmabert, shout out to old Babbert, said he got it. And he's like, you guys might want to check that out. And
okay.
I was like, well, did you watch it? And he's like, no. wouldn't do that.
Yeah, so I saw it on a clip from Nerd News Network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about going into these. I think one of the reasons I like anthologies is because you're like, even if you find out one of the stories, mm-hmm. there's three more, potentially.
Yeah.
But I there is a thing that I like about this. It has no tagline. It's got pretty minimal, like, stuff on the cover. Mm-hmm. I think that tells me that they're like, look, if you're a fan of this kind of franchise, you'll watch it. Like,
yeah, there's confidence.
They know the brand. So yeah. I'm like, I'm going to give that a try. I'm going to give this a watch.
So that being said, there's obviously not going to be, well, there might be a framing narrative, but we don't know. But my guess is it's going to play off of tropes from the 80s.
That would be so cool.
So what trope, 80s tropes do you think we might encounter?
Let's see, if I remember my 80s movies, usually a really popular one was something revolving around like prom or a dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Think another one so I want to see one that's a prom or a dance. I want to see one that is kind of that Stranger Things, like group of precocious teens or mm-hmm. young adults, young teens, versus an unspeakable evil.
Okay.
I like that. I hope we get one that's pseudo-futuristic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like sci-fi.
Yeah, like Blade Runner-esque.
Blade Runner or Terminator-esque, I think would be a fun one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're going to get three or four. What do you think? What's a trope you want to see?
I'm thinking that there's going to be one with vampires, because vampires were very prevalent in movies in the 80s. Also, I wonder if, because of the mention of the TV screen, if there's going to be like a poltergeist kind of reference, or maybe they get it, like Tron gets sucked into a TV series or something.
Tron, fun.
Yeah.
I think one that would focus on the technology mm-hmm. of the age being the problem. Maybe somebody has an answering machine of doom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That would be fun. It plays a message that's like, I can't come to the phone right now. I'm being murdered. And they're like, I didn't record that. And then they get murdered. They can't come to the phone right now. My moon boots just came in. And then they jump on there with their moon boots on and shatter their ankles. I don't know. I would like to see.
I kind of hope there's like some sort of fashion montage, because I associate a lot of like glow up montages with 80s movies.
Or do you think one of these will take place in a mall?
That'd be cool. I mean, let's be honest, malls, although...
There's a lot that they could use as sets.
Yeah.
Because they're dead.
Yeah. Malls, they had their heyday. I'm not sure that they'll ever come back to the way they were. They were heading out while we were still going to the mall.
I don't know. We both grew up in a small town that literally the biggest deal was that they were putting in a Macy's that was going to have a second store.
Yes.
People lost their shit.
Yeah.
There was going to be an escalator.
Yeah. Which if I haven't mentioned it before, I do not care for escalators. And I really don't care for floating escalators. We went to Gen Con this year and you donated blood. And it was probably in the most inconvenient place in the Colts Stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium. And I was going to go with you, but the only way to get up there was to go on this really, really, really long, tall, floating escalator. And I was like, peace out, babe. Love you. But not happening. Anyways.
That was a detour.
It was.
Hey, guys. So if you ever want to scare my wife... Just put something she loves at the top of an escalator.
Yep.
But like, that would be her episode of Fear Factor. It's not compelling television.
Nope.
But it would scare her.
It would. If you want to get my heart pumping in a fear way.
Moving stairs do it.
Yeah. It's worse when they're floating escalators. And by that I mean they're attached at the top and the bottom, but there's nothing holding them up.
So it's like your version of a horror game, one of those Mario levels where those brick things float in the air and you have to jump on.
I get terrified when I fall in video games. I'm playing Alice, Return to Madness, American McGee's Alice, Return to Madness. And there's so much that you have to like hop and jump and things are moving.
It's a platformer. It's in the title of what the game is.
And what do you mean?
It's an action platformer.
Oh.
Platformer. running and jumping?
I don't know these things. No. I didn't grow up with video games. And so I get startled a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's, I call you over sometimes. I put on Assassin's Creed games just to make her uncomfortable.
When you fall from the tall buildings.
They call them leap things.
They leap, make my heart leap is what they do.
Okay. I mean, you used one of the words in the sentence, so I guess technically it was a good joke. Man, I don't know which was longer. You getting to your point on that or one of the actual loops of fate?
Yeah. I know the answer. Anyways, so...
Movie tropes.
Movie tropes.
80s. I hope there is an ambiguous gang that's strangely multicultural in the way that only 80s movies can be. Yeah, I don't know if that's just the thing. I've always noticed, like, whenever you watch an 80s movie gang, they almost have, like, a college diversity poster level of attention to detail in the makeup of the gang, where they're like, well, we can't single any group out, so we've got to make sure there is a white guy, a black guy, a Latino guy, a woman of ambiguous, like, ethnicity, that's also very tough, and then one that's a pretty girly girl. And then we have to have an Asian guy, but we're still the 80s, so it's going to be racist, so he's going to be a martial arts master. And then there's just that guy with a knife and, like, one gun.
Yeah.
And you're like, these people wouldn't be... Why is it the fucking Breakfast Club and your gang?
Maybe there will be, like, a high school murder.
Oh, a breakfast... Ooh. Breakfast Club murder mystery would be amazing.
I am totally down for that.
Yeah, like one of them killed the principal.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And then he writes in blood, you forgot about me.
I'm going to be here every Saturday, and so are you.
It'd be weird if they were allowed to.
Maybe that was just a ghost sound.
Okay, maybe it was just a ghost sound.
Like, they read it out loud, and then all of a sudden
like they said it into a Teddy Ruxpin?
That was a good 80s reference, though.
Yeah. And he was killed with a Rubik's Cube.
Stuffed down his throat, and so you could see the outline of the cube.
God, you are violent with your descriptions today. I'm making 80s references delightfully over here, and you're like, but what if there was murder and bodily mutilation?
I hope that they do, like, a Clive Barker-esque one, where it's just like, what the fuck is going on? This is so visually, like, what?
That's weird, because the last time you had one of those was in that Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, and you hated the one that was, like, supposed to be visually engaging.
Well, yeah, I don't really care for body horror or any of that kind of stuff. Like, Terrifier 2, 1 and 2, just nauseous.
Okay.
So.
That's not body horror, but...
I mean, there was some serious...
That's gore. Okay. Gore porn. Yeah. Body horror is...
Yeah. Like
Lovecraftian. Cronenbergian.
Act of Violence? What was the one called with Viggo Mortensen that we watched? Not
Future Act. Crimes?
Oh, yeah. Crimes of the Future.
Yeah.
Where we came up with comedy is the new sex.
Comedy is the new sex. Ring a ding ding. All right. Have we talked through this career?
I feel like we have.
I feel like...
I just missed you. I missed you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you are happy that we're back because we're happy to be back.
Are we?
I am.
Okay. Well, your enthusiasm can make up for a lot.
Okay. All right, you guys. Cabin, should we go watch a movie?
Let's go watch a movie. It's movie time.
And we're back, having just watched VHS 1985.
Heck yeah. If you know, there's two things about us. We love the 80s.
Yeah.
And we love anthologies.
Oh.
Well, I love anthologies, and I count for 51% of this company. So, therefore, we love anthologies. We're back having watched VHS 1985.
Yes.
I just repeated what you said because I want the audience to understand this movie is worth seeing twice. Maybe. I don't know. Let's get into it.
Okay.
So, this is an anthology. It's in the VHS series of movies.
Yep. Horror.
Yeah. What is interesting about this one is it's got a framing narrative around it that kind of feels like a old 60 Minutes episode where they're interviewing around a accident that has happened in a research facility with this alien life form.
Yes.
And then it intercuts with the somewhat connected, but also not connected. Like two of the stories are connected. Two of them aren't.
Right.
Parts of their anthology. Mm-hmm. So the framing narrative, I guess we'll talk into this first. The framing narrative one is kind of interesting to me because it's Lovecraftian. It's this cosmic horror that is acting amoral. Like it doesn't, it's fathom. It's understanding of us is beyond us, or it's like completely alien in that, but it shape changes into other people. And then they start getting suspicious when it shapes changes into a person that there's no way it could have seen.
Yeah.
So what did you think of that one? You know, I don't want to super spoil it, but as you can tell, mayhem and carnage ensues.
I think there were some parts of it that actually reminded me of like the visualization of that one movie that we watched that made me want to vomit. Mad God. Some of the alien visualizations reminded me of portions of Mad God.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's kind of Cronenberg-esque. It's kind of like a John Carpenter's The Thing kind of monster. Here's the thing. It's interstitial. It's cut in between. It, to me, is slow, that framing one. Like, they're building up, but you...
I forgot about it in between.
Also, we're... To me, it's slow because we are a... horror literate audience. People watching this movie, you probably aren't stumbling on it, so you probably are familiar either with the franchise or you're a horror fan. I think it was only on Shudder, so like you were kind of a horror buff anyways,
right?
So you don't need this buildup because to you know what's going to happen. Like the tension is like a false tension,
right?
But I also can appreciate the trying to make it this like 60 Minutes-esque kind of revelatory interview, where it's kind of weird as it does shift at a certain point to not being in that 60 minute style where they kind of show you what happened. And it's an interesting shift because then you're like, wait, where did this found footage piece come from?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the overall thing is that somebody's watching this video and then... It's almost like, I don't know if you ever had this growing up when you recorded on a VHS, you could record over previous things. Mm-hmm. And so it would do like this almost record scratch and then like some...
The tracking adjusts.
Yeah. And so it visually, they did that. So it definitely made you feel like you were watching an old timey VHS that somebody had recorded over.
Everything has that kind of grain that old VHS home movies did.
So I really appreciated that visually.
Visually, I enjoyed the heck out of all of these. The first story... Besides this framing one, which actually isn't, now that I'm thinking about saying it, it's not a framing story because it's not like it ties into the other ones. It's just kind of like this overarching thing that breaks up the middles.
Yeah.
The first story is a group of college friends go out and start getting picked off one by one by a shooter on a lake.
Oh, yeah.
And
so there were two framing narratives.
Yeah, that's it's one that has like features a reference back. So then you have that, and they actually, after they're all gunned down, they wake up and find out that they're like even shot. Like one guy's got the back of his head blown out. They're not dead.
Right.
And they realize if they had gone in the water, which had a no swimming sign, they can't die.
They're immortal at this point.
Yeah. And they then decide to get revenge on the person that killed them.
Yeah. Which we don't, at that point, we don't know why.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because it's One, the idea of them getting picked off by a shooter on the lake, I don't know why that didn't seem like an 80s theme, mm-hmm. that it was being repeated. So it was kind of a, okay, this has got some 80s style with the clothing and stuff, but why did I feel very modern with it, where mm-hmm. it was just that senseless killing for the sake of somebody doing a senseless right. killing? That feels like much more of a more modern take on horror movie slasher.
Yeah, it also, I mean, I hate to say this, but an 80s film would have also had like a gratuitous sex scene going on at the same time. I mean, let's be honest. So if you got to get a bunch of horny teenagers at a lake that are about to get murdered, you know, in the 80s movies, they're going to be doing it.
Yeah, there was only a vague implication that they were doing drugs. Mm-hmm. So because like a lot of the 80s movies do this morality play thing where your character that is virginal, not a drinker, not a illicit drug user, they're the ones that survive, even mm-hmm. though they go through torture. This one actually kind of says like, no, mm-hmm. which again, like we are just rewatching the Scream movies and they're like, it's the millennium. Motive doesn't matter. And I'm like, okay, that's, but they kind of have a point. Like if you're doing a slasher movie, an 80s style slasher movie would have had a motive.
Yeah.
Well, we do get a motive later, but it's also just like the very much like it's random in the context of that clip that you have or the scene that they show. But again, the gore effects are decent mm-hmm. For what they're doing. I mean, like a lot's hidden by wigs and
and they do, because it's kind of a found footage situation. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of off-screen screams and shots and sounds. And I thought they were impactful.
They do have a lady that gets her jaw shot off and then she has to like spend the rest of the time with it dangling, which is, you know, you're like, oh, well, if they're immortal, which means they can't die, it doesn't mean they're impervious to injury.
Right. Which totally brings me back to Death Becomes Her, which, by the way, if you haven't seen Death Becomes Her, it's an excellent movie. You should go watch that.
It's fine.
It's good.
So the second one is... what is the second one? That second one wasn't the other part. It cuts into another one of the 80s ones. Well, let's just talk about the where this later connects.
Yeah.
So this one does feature a connection because you see this young girl that's going through her coming of age story. And it actually is revealed that her family is serial killers. They have to kill 7 people on their like 16th or 17th birthday to kind of be in the family. And they have to have videos, but she does it differently this year. She actually has a VHS tape, which we can assume is the VHS tape from this story or from this movie. And they eventually get raided by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And it switches to this cult compound, like nobody will take us alive.
Yeah.
And so she gets told by her mom, if they're going to take you, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And she goes to shoot herself and she can't die. This is another cut later. Her little brother had sprayed her with a squirt gun. We find out that the people that she murdered, which were the 7 friends, they loaded up a squirt gun with the water from the lake and she got squirted with it. So when she kills herself, she immediately comes back to life and then gets shot by the cops again. Yeah. And then she comes back to life. And it's is an interesting one because they end that the first story with the friends all being like, we're going to do exactly to her what she did to us, or what they did to us. And then you see it and you're like, oh, that's kind of clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second one was is set in Mexico and it was like there was a big earthquake.
Oh, yeah. That one was a little bit strange. I mean, these are all a little bit strange. I didn't really care for this one. It features an earthquake and it's them wandering through and discovering a like vaguely Aztecan god of death and destruction
mm-hmm.
that's been awakened and a cult built around that. I don't know. That one didn't feel that unique to me. It was interesting because they supposedly that earthquake did happen
mm-hmm.
in real life. Not the whole death and destruction and god thing. But So that was referencing a real event. I don't know. That one didn't resonate too much with me. You know, it was fine, but visually it wasn't particularly interesting. Yeah. It had some pretty stock, like, oh, this character is actually part of the cult and she betrays them, or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. Like, it's nothing you haven't seen.
Yeah. So then the next section was the performance artist in virtual reality.
Oh, that one was kind of interesting. One, as a person that sat through like bad open mic rants, I was like, this is flashbacks. But it's a woman that is basically like chastising virtual reality and mm-hmm. technology as the destroyer of like the natural world
yeah.
and of kind of like the spiritualness of it. And so she goes into VR to like
prove.
Yeah. Well, to like, she's trying to do a performance art piece where she's like in this VR world and it's like, hey, there is no God here.
Yeah.
There's no spiritualness to it. And it turns out there is.
There was.
And it starts like, you can see on the screen these bad 80s graphics.
Yeah, it's kind very of monsters Tron-like.
Tearing her apart. And then it starts actually doing it to her in the real world.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that one.
That one was pretty cool.
It's, again, a slow build.
Yeah.
It definitely, like, you're going to have to... This is one of my pet peeves in media, and there's no fix for it. It's just a thing I always notice is, like, every time you see them trying to do some form of art... like whether it's stand up or poetry or music in a movie world, it's always bad
mm-hmm.
because if it was good, those people would have done that art form. Like you never get, when you see like a stand up comedian in a movie, when they're trying to like make them the butt of a joke, they're never going to do good stand up.
Right.
You're never going to see it. Like it just, cause one, those writers probably aren't a stand up or they aren't right. a performance artist. So they don't quite get the format and they've also got to make it accessible enough for the idiot in the room to right. be like, oh, this is
lowest.
This. And also we also have to make it. So when she does get demolished, you're like, oh yeah, she deserved that. Like,
yeah.
So they
didn't put her in a lovable position.
No, but a good. I loved the effects in that one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because they definitely had to do some cleverness to, you know, make cuts appear mm-hmm. when she's in, you know, wire work and stuff like that. So yeah. I did enjoy that one. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that hit me the most during that one was the fact that the audience was like clapping as it was happening, thinking mm-hmm. it was part of the performance.
Yeah.
And is the reaction you're supposed to have. But overall, I thought it was a good segment.
It's a fascinating thing because it's dramatic irony when the audience knows something the character doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, you're watching dramatic irony in like three dimensions because
yeah.
the audience should know this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, and then you're reacting to them not knowing.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a cool trick.
Yeah.
In a way. Sure. But yeah. So that one was, it was good.
Yeah.
Good enough.
So the last segment was a young boy, probably a teenager. He sent in VHS recordings of murders that hadn't occurred yet. To the police, and it's mostly his interrogation. And I don't want to spoil that one because honestly, it was my favorite.
I loved that one.
Yeah.
So he is able to. Okay, but first off, we also talk about his name was Gunther in this, and it just throws me off every time somebody's yeah. like Gunther. What are you doing? Because the name Gunther is like, I'm sure there's real Gunthers in the
yeah.
world. There's
oh, yeah.
gotta be. But every time you say the name Gunther, it's like when I hear a comedian do a joke and they're like, oh, you know, little Timmy down the street. And you're like, you just made up that name. That's mm-hmm. not a real name. Nobody names their kid Timmy, even though I know several Timmys.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm like, no, you picked that for that because you're like, it's like naming your character John Everyman. I'm like, no, that can't be right. but so Gunther can... He's getting interrogated with his dad in the room
uh-huh.
and his dad's like, yeah, the whole, like the family, there's a family curse of this psychicness.
Yeah.
And It's like some were, I think, were able to draw or write mm-hmm. what they saw. But Gunther's is like able to put it on these VHS tapes.
Yeah.
He's dressed like an 80s punk goth kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I was like, hell yeah, for the style, bro. Yeah. But it's the most fleshed out kind of story in a way. It's also the goriest because there's some brutal murder. So yeah. One of the things is like these kills are just gruesome. Like you see a woman get cheese grated, gets her eyeball sliced open. Ooh. I mean, it's just it's graphic in some spots. And the fact that these guys are like, oh, we've seen this. It was last week's videotape. Is interesting. That one's got such a twist that I, you know, don't. I'm not gonna.
No,
we're not gonna tell you it. But that one, to me, if you watch none of the other ones, watching that one is great. Mm-hmm.
I also these kind of things, and I know that this is the kind of the point of anthologies. We used to watch a lot of short horror films on YouTube, and that's one of the things that I like about this movie mm-hmm. is the fact that you get those little bursts. I'm a huge fan of framing narratives when it comes to horror anthologies, and I love when little things tie in together. It's one of my when I was growing up, I read this series called the Night World series by LJ Smith, and all of her books had like at least one character that showed up in another book in the next series, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I have this inside knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great thing when anthologies can weave in little spots from other parts of the anthology. And this one didn't do it with all of them, but it did it with enough that it scratched that itch for me.
And also, like, the VHS series in general, the way they're kind of set up, it works for me in that way, because it's this idea that, like, you're finding this tape that's been dubbed over or recorded over several times. And that's kind of always interesting to me that I sometimes will disconnect that. I don't like ones that, you know, I always think it's funny because you'll get sometimes get like the framing narrative where they're like, I'm going to redo these stories from this book.
Yeah.
And you're like, please don't. Can we not? Okay, we just get to the part where you reveal you're the devil.
Yeah.
Can we just get to that? Because you're going to be the devil. Yeah. So, but these VHS ones, again, it's overall like having taken a break from the VHS series, I think this was a nice return to it. None of the stories are weak. Mm-mm. They're only weak in relation to how they stack up with the other ones on this.
Right.
I would definitely recommend this if you're a horror anthology fan. Mm-hmm. If you're a horror fan in general, this one definitely skews a little bit more sci-fi than the other ones in the VHS series have.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool direction because we don't have a ton of horror sci-fi anthologies.
Right. And it's VHS 85, not 1985. Oh, my apologies.
Good Lord. Well, yeah, I can't wait till that combats with their sequel 2085.
So you just said you'd recommend this movie. I also would recommend it. I enjoyed it, and it was fun watching it with Kevin because I like watching movies with Kevin.
I do. I like watching horror movies with Bree because she does two things. One, every jump scare gets her.
Although, I don't remember I had a ton of jump scares in this.
There weren't a ton of jump scares in this one. There were more like, ooh, that's tough to watch.
Yeah.
Especially the Gunther story.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, that's graphic. I don't really want to watch that. Which, great, cool. I always am impressed when a horror movie that I know is fake blood and gore can make me uncomfortable.
Oh, for sure.
And not feel also like you're just doing it too much. Like, there's a limit where I'm like, you're just doing this to show off that you can do an effect.
Don't be gratuitous.
Yeah. Sounds weird because we also enjoy the Terrifier franchise.
Oh, God.
Do we? We watch them.
I don't know if I enjoy it, though. Yeah. But, although I am intrigued by Terrifier 3.
That one's a Christmas movie.
I know.
Well, I love seasonal horror movies that aren't Halloween.
Yeah.
So this gets two recommends.
Two recommends.
All right. What would you have changed on the cover?
I don't think I would. I feel like this cover was definitely, it gave the same vibe that the overall movie had. And to me that, I mean, it pulled us in, obviously.
Yeah.
And we knew enough about the franchise to know that it was going to be an anthology of sorts. But to me, it was a very 80s cover. So I think I'd keep it just the way it was.
Hey, this is one, a rare one where I'd say the cover matches really well. Yeah, I think if I was a kid at a video store, mm-hmm. this cover would have like snagged my eye and I would have gone for it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I know I said it earlier, but I do really enjoy that they made it feel like a true VHS experience.
Yeah.
And those of you that are listening that have never had a true VHS experience, hopefully we have some younger audience members. Yeah. This would be a good example of what it was like to work with VHS and have VHS.
It's also one of those things where you're like, it's such an inferior form of media compared to like streaming, which is like you can get 4K, 8K, yeah. like you can get beautiful quality.
Yeah.
And you're like, but there's something charming about like mm-hmm. this. I mean, and I'll just say horror effects look better because mm-hmm. there's artifacts, there's noise, there's grain, like it hides a lot of the flaws. Yeah. I think I remember watching The Thing. I remember watching it on VHS and being terrified.
Yeah.
Because it was also dark, so everything looked more menacing. You watch it on a modern like Blu-ray or modern 4K and you're like, ooh, that doesn't look great. That doesn't, why?
You are not getting your sins hidden.
Yeah, no, and you know, you can adjust the black level so it's not a like a true dark black. And you're like, oh, that doesn't, oh gosh, dude, that's just a lot of hot glue they melted, isn't it? That's just, that's not even goop. That's not goop, that's static goop.
So, yes, I think I'd keep the cover the same. I'd recommend this movie.
VHS, no notes.
No notes. No VHS 85. No yeah. notes. Kevin, where can we find you on social media?
Well, Gashy G. Willikers, you can find me on social media at Kevin_egg on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Or I'm sorry, X.
And
Instagram, Twitter. TikTok. You can find me at KevinEggleston.com. Bree, where can we listen to more of your beautiful angelic voice tones?
So you actually can also find Kevin on Patreon, patreon.com/KevinEggleston. We will upload the video to this at least 24 hours before we release it to the public. So if you like to get early access, head on over to patreon.com/KevinEggleston. You can find our second podcast, which is actually more of a vlog, A Barry Couple, B-A-R-I, on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. That travels along with us on our bariatric surgery weight loss journey.
That's why we haven't been doing the what did you snack on parts, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry if you were here just for the snack life.
The snack life is always just going to be water from now on. Maybe a nice coffee.
A quarter cup of chicharrones.
Yeah. You can find us there. And here for us, By Its Cover podcast, you can find us on YouTube and Facebook, By Its Cover podcast, on Instagram and TikTok at By Its Cover Pod. And please go like and subscribe.
And give a review.
Yeah. We would love that. Share us with people if you enjoy us. If you don't, just psh.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. What are you doing? You gotta blow up our spot.
So any interactions with us, we appreciate. And we'll get back to you. So thank you so much for watching. Bye. And Kevin, what is comedy?
Comedy is the new sex.
Thank you.